This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And here with me, actually, are you here, Kerry? Because I gotta tell you, sometimes I don't know if you're going to show up or not. And I remember so many shows when you are not here and it's 5 o'clock time in Los Angeles, that is, time to do the show. And I just sit there and I go, Kasem? Kasem?
Okay, I was wondering where you're going with that, because that's never happened except once.
No, it did happen.
No, I was like, one Kasem? Time. One Kasem? Time. Because I was not told the time of the show, and I was in Tahoe giving a speech at a huge conference. Do you remember that? And you guys had to find me on Instagram. Kasem? I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
Why am I saying this, by the way?
Because we have Ben Stein on.
Oh, really? I thought it was Ben Stern. It's Stein?
No, it's Stein. Oh. Yeah, you know it's Stein. Bueller.
Well, it's Kasem.
Bueller.
Well, you're here, and I'm happy you're here, because when you're not, I get to just talk to myself, and now I can talk to you. But you are right. Today we have a great show for everyone. We have the Ben Stein on the show. And, of course, he is, I guess people don't know that he is a lawyer. Some people do. Well-known lawyer. Did a lot of poverty law back in the day. Teacher, speechwriter for Presidents Nixon and Ford. It's going back a few years. He's been a columnist for a lot of great publications like the Wall Street Journal, the American Spectator, Newsmax, New York Times, Barron's. He's commentator. He's been on Fox News, CBS Sunday Morning, CNN, and a number of others. Co-author or author of over 30 books. People don't realize that either. He's a pop culture icon in a lot of ways. Obviously, we just made reference to his famous appearance in Ferris Bueller's Day Off in 1986, and he was the teacher, Mr. Cantwell, on The Wonder Years. I loved The Wonder Years. What about you, Kerry?
Wow. I did watch it a little bit. It wasn't one of my like shows that
one of my favorites.
It was good.
Because I was one of those kids, kind of awkward, and I could identify with, what's his name?
The guy that's in it? The kid? The cute kid with the brown hair? Can't remember his name.
Kevin. Also, Ben Stein, you know, he's done so much advertisements, of course, with your favorite. What's your favorite?
Clear Eyes.
Clear Eyes. All right. And he was a judge on Star Search. He's like lived 100 lives.
He has. It's unbelievable. He keeps, I don't want to say reinventing himself, but something comes out to where everybody knows who he is. Besides the fact that everybody knows, like, the Win Ben Stein's money and how unbelievably intelligent he is.
I think it's just smart. I don't know how intelligent he is, but he's just kind of smart.
Isn't that the kind of the same thing?
I don't know. Maybe not. Yale Law School, Columbia undergrad. Considered one of the great humorists of the political economy, an economist, and he knows how life works, apparently, according to Ben Stein, which a lot of people follow. Enough already. Let's stop talking about him. Let's just talk to him. Ben Stein, welcome to Gervy's Law.
Welcome. I was wondering if you were ever going to have me talk.
No, we weren't.
We're going to keep going.
We've got like a lot of other stuff to talk about with you. You just haven't stopped. You're prolific, the definition of prolific. After all that and these years, what are you most proud of, Ben?
I'm most proud of being a devoted husband to my wonderful wifey.
Wow.
We get that a lot. You know, we ask people that, and it's usually a dad or a husband.
No.
Oh, yes. Many times people have said that. I think that is great. I think that shows what kind of human being he is.
I don't think Alan Dershowitz
said
that.
God bless you.
Yes.
Well, I don't even know if he's married, but I assume he is. But I don't know. But no, of all the many things I've done, the best thing I've done is be a decent, halfway decent husband to my wonderful wifey.
How do you have the time to do it? Because of all of these things that you've done through the years, I know as a family man, I know how hard it is to balance. How did you find the time to, you know, do all this stuff and teaching and being a lawyer and in speech writing? How do you balance your family life?
Well, I'm busy and I keep being busy and I'm always doing something. I rarely just go bowling and or sit on the couch and watch a baseball game or a football game. I'm pretty much busy all the time. And when I'm not busy, I'm generally sleeping. And when I'm sleeping, I'm generally thinking about something in my unconscious mind that I should be writing about.
You know, it's important when you talk about that because I have some of my greatest thoughts in my sleep. I wake up and it's before me and you remember what you had thought about. Now, with your wife, Alexandra Denman, she has been a wonderful entertainment attorney and she's devoted a lot of her time to something that's very important to Carrie, which are animals and animal rights. Carrie.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. The animal, it's called the Fund, International Fund for Animal Welfare.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's not exactly animal rights. It's animal welfare.
Sure.
It's not, like we don't think animals should have the right to vote, but we think that animals should be well taken care of and loved and treated well.
But Ben,
we love animals.
The yeah. Democrats do feel that animals should have the right to vote because they feel they would be able to sway them. Isn't that true?
I don't know if they could sway them or not. I have the feeling most animals would probably be Republicans, but I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. Anyway, which animals would we allow to vote? There's an awful lot of different kinds of animals.
I'll go with dolphins. Yeah.
Dolphins.
Dolphins,
are good
there
ones.
We go.
Yes, dolphins are a good
dolphins.
One. Dolphins are an excellent choice.
There we go.
But it's, you know, it's a very important work, and a lot of people don't understand that people who are in the public eye, they also do a lot of charity work, a lot of important work for organizations that you don't hear about. How have you and your wife been able to get involved in these kind of endeavors?
Well, she hasn't been as involved as she used to be because she's been extremely ill for the last 2 years and has barely been out of bed for the last 2 years.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But she, well, thank you very much. In my case, it started when I used to write a column for a newspaper here called the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, which was the Hearst magazine's Hearst Corporation's afternoon newspaper, which was trying desperately to compete with the LA Times. Didn't really have a prayer because they were so well funded and had such a dominant position in the marketplace. And anyway, I would just write articles about things that I found interesting and important. And the people who read the articles would ask me to come speak about them. And pretty soon I was involved in them. And this was especially true of people in the military families, families of people who were killed in the wars against terrorism. And I became very active in an organization that works on that called TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. And I became very active in Right to Life. I know that makes me a controversial person, at least in Hollywood. And I've written a lot about Right to Life and had an awful lot of anger directed at me because of that. Although how anyone can be angry about wanting to have children not be murdered in the womb, I'm not quite sure. But anyway.
Well, I think the people who are angry are more about the woman's right for choice. Perhaps that may
well,
be what
I know. I know that's well. That's a way. That's one way to put it. The woman's right to choice. Woman's right to choose to murder her baby is the way I look at it. That I don't think is much of a choice. It's like saying an SS man's right to murder some Jew he sees walking down the street that he doesn't like. It's just. I don't see it at all as a matter of a woman's health issue. If they really were so concerned about not having to have a baby, they could have taken steps to not get pregnant. I mean, it's pretty easy in today's world to take birth control and not get pregnant. So
yeah,
I think that's...
isn't it a scientific question? You know, I know that you've also been controversial.
Isn't what a scientific question?
On the fetus and when life really exists.
It used to be a scientific question. But now it isn't, because now, in at least two states, Virginia and New York, laws have been passed which allow infanticide, which allow children to be murdered after they're born. So in that case, we really clearly...
How is that possible? I don't understand.
That's incredible. I know.
I don't get it.
It's incredible to me, too.
I don't understand how it's a full-born baby. There are people that would want to adopt. There are people... I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me
at all. I don't understand it either.
I get the first three trimesters. I get that. I do. I understand
the
if you...
three trimesters?
I mean, I'm sorry. The first trimester. Excuse me. First trimester. Sorry. The first 3 months. And I have friends who've been on, different types of, birth control or used a condom, and it didn't work. And I understand that, or they can't get pregnant because of a health issue when it happened. I there are certain instances, rape, I understand certain things, but I don't get it. Once that baby is a baby that can be born and can live, how do you turn its head inside? The things that they do to the children, that is murder. And I totally agree with you. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, God bless your soul. God bless your soul, because you are a rare young woman to take such a controversial and brave position on the air, and not many people would do it. And you're a brave young woman. You're going to go places with that kind of courage. But people will just say anything in order to get votes, and they will say that the baby is not a baby in order to get the votes of certain communities.
Haven't you said that science leads you to killing people when you were talking about evolution?
Yes. Aren't you a well-informed research person? What I said was we made a movie called Expelled, and the movie was not really about Darwinism, although everyone thought it was. It was about how if you even questioned Darwinism, even questioned it, at universities, you were fired and you couldn't get a job at another university,
right,
or even a high school. And we thought that was very much against principles of free speech.
Yeah.
So that was what that was about. But in the course of making it, we thought about a lot of things having to do with when life begins and where does life come from. And we came up with some amazing things that people just don't seem to have ever talked about, at least not very much. I'll give you an example. Everyone agrees with Darwinism. Everyone agrees Charles Darwin is a great genius, and he figured out what life works. But Charles Darwin never, ever found a species that had mutated into another species. Okay. He found species that had changed within the species, but he did not ever find a species that had mutated into another species. He did not ever, and this is the really most important part, two most important parts, he did not ever find how life began. And when I worked on this movie, I would talk to all these various, very important evolutionary biologists, and I'd say, well, all right, how did life begin? You had these inorganic matters, big rocks and lava and so forth. How did they turn into a kangaroo or a wallaby or a dinosaur? No one ever knew the answer to that, or even into a mollusk, or even into the smallest cell. No one ever knew the answer. Where did life come from? No one ever knew the answer to that. No, never knew even close to the answer. In fact, there's a very famous, very, very famous evolutionary biologist named Richard Dawkins, and he and I had a little discussion on the air about this, and he said, well, maybe life was seeded on Earth by beings from other planets. And I said, well, then where did they come from? Yeah. So
I've always had that, which is interesting. I have to say, I've always thought that. Like, I've heard this, of course, with different theories that we've all been seeded from different planets. Look, I look at everything. I'm not opposed
to take a break. And I don't want to interrupt, but, you two both have some, I think, unpopular views. But, one of the things, Ben, you've really had the Batesim or the balls to come out and say it, even if it isn't popular. And I got to take a break. When I come back.
It's not popular at all.
I want to know where you get that from. You know, whether it's from your dad, Herbert Stein. We're going to talk a little bit about that because you are a chip off the old block. Did he just speak what he needed to say, regardless of how it was going to be said and be heard? And that's what we're going to talk about after break. But I gotta take a break right now. You're listening to Gervie's Law. Thank you. Right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
No BS. Constitutionally guaranteed. AM 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. I was actually at a dance last night for my little kids.
You were?
At the school, and they were playing this, and we were...
And did you twist?
Yes. And did you see, last week I went to the daddy-daughter dance with Harper.
So cute.
Weren't those pictures cute?
Yes,
and they
so
played
cute.
All kinds of great music. I love dancing with my kids. Harper, the two of us, I put on my tuxedo. She put on her princess dress.
It's so adorable.
And it was amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. You know, during the week when you're here on KBC, you can hear Ben Shapiro. On the weekend, it's Ben Stein all day, Sunday, 5 to 6 on Gervie's Law. Ben Shapiro during the week, Ben Stein. We're talking to Ben Stein here. Can America Survive? One of his books. And we're going to talk about whether America survives. There's so many issues on that. But before we do, Ben, I teased before the break about your dad, Herbert Stein, and of course your dad, Herbert and Mildred, his wife, were your mother, married 61 years.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing stuff. He was an economist, well-known, well-respected chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Nixon and Ford, professor of economics at University of Virginia. And when they talk about a chip off the old block, that really rings true for you, doesn't it?
Well, it does in some ways. I mean, it does in terms of my being willing to say things that are not popular with powerful interest groups. But I want to go back to what we were talking about before, if I may respectfully
sure.
do so, about evolution.
As long as you're respectful, because, it's okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to be very respectful. When I first was asked to work on this movie about evolution and about how people are punished and barred from working and fired and so forth and blacklisted for talking about evolution, I asked a very, very smart friend of mine named Al Burton, just a genius, what he thought, whether I should get involved. And he said, well, look, he said, there has to be a master builder. There has to be a guiding hand, because otherwise, how would we get the laws of physics or thermodynamics? How do we get those basic laws? They can't evolve. A law like the law of gravity cannot evolve. It has to always be the same. So someone created those laws, and that's where they came from. They didn't just come out of a nutshell somewhere.
But when you talk about brilliance, Ben, when you talk about brilliance, you're giving credit to the human being, to the brain power of brilliant people. Why couldn't those type of concepts and issues evolve through the human race?
Well, how could gravity evolve through the human race? I mean, I understand how you could say the invention of going from gunpowder to the hydrogen bomb could evolve through the human race. But I don't understand how you could say that the law of gravity could evolve through the human race. I mean, what do human beings have to do with gravity? There's nothing.
Unless it was just here as part of a way to live. You come
it
to the
here.
Planet, and here it is.
It
it's
is.
Not. It was just it was, there.
But who put it here? But who put it here? Who put it here? And who put life here? Where did life come from? I mean, there was life here. Life didn't come from rocks. Life didn't come from crystals forming on the outside of shells. Life didn't come from sunlight reflecting on salt water. Life came from somewhere much higher up than the chain of command than that. And we don't know what that was, but it certainly wasn't evolution.
Many people say it was what came from the sea of ammonia, that ammonia was what started life.
Well, but nobody's ever been able to do it.
No.
I mean, people have tried billions of times to run electricity through ammonia. It doesn't work. Nothing happens. They've tried everything. They've tried every kind of experiment you can imagine to try to create life. It never works. It never, ever works. So something was at work. But as I say, even if that did work, which it doesn't, but even if it did, where did the laws of gravity come from? Where did the law of motion, the conservation of matter and conservation of energy come from? Where do those laws come from?
Right.
You know, technology has advanced significantly since those times. So clearly what you're saying must be true because they didn't have the technology. But Darwin might say something different. I don't know enough about how, if Darwin was sitting here, how he would respond to you.
But I have to just say though,
he would probably just say, shut up, boy.
but the thing is here, I think it's a bigger picture is whether what you're allowed to teach and whether your opinion is going to be accepted or you're going to be fired. Why can't you give
That is exactly correct. That is exactly correct. Why is it that people are not allowed to have questioning points of views?
Right.
Why is it that there's not, you're not even allowed to question that, not even allowed to raise. You can question almost anything else. You cannot question that.
But especially in colleges now, I know that you've taught extensively at Pepperdine and UCLA and other
American University in Washington D.C., which I loved a lot, and UC Santa Cruz, which I also loved a lot. I loved all the places I taught.
But why are schools limiting what a professor can say?
I'll tell you why.
I'll
tell you why. Here's my theory, Ben and Alan. This is my theory. I think that if you do not believe in Darwinism, it goes back to religion. And they're so afraid of religion and God and the uproar.
You're so right. They're terrified of God.
Yeah.
The power of atheism in America's academic institutions is overwhelming, and they're terrified that people are going to turn to God. And now you could go to a conference on evolution or on this: how old is the Earth? And you see lots and lots of Christians and some Jews saying, "Of course, evolution doesn't explain everything. Of course, there has to have been a higher being, a higher intelligence. There has to have been intelligent design." But you won't find it at Harvard. You won't find it at MIT. You won't find it at the University of Chicago or UCLA.
UCLA, you won't find it. No.
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 And, you know, the thing about that is that it becomes a popular theme that almost is bandwagon. And when you talk about that, you talk about how it can influence people, which brings me to anti-Semitism, which we've seen run rampant on colleges. How come...
Run rampant. Exploding on colleges. Exploding on colleges.
How can that be stopped? You know, you've been a trendsetter in a lot of ways and stood up for what you believe in. And, you know, I don't think there's anything you don't have an opinion on. How do you stop this in colleges so that it doesn't become something...
I don't know where it comes from. To some extent, it comes from the fact that there are so many Muslim students at various universities, and they not always, many of them are extremely fine, wonderful human beings and just great people. But many of them are just absolutely dead set on being anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and anti-Jewish. So there's no changing their minds no matter what. When it
bleeds into the Congress as well, as we're seeing recently.
Oh, my God, does it bleed? But it's bleeding into the Congress, not in terms of your ordinary congressman, but in terms of these nutcases from Minnesota and other places who are Muslim in many cases, who also are extremely left-wing. And unfortunately, it's very, very, very unfortunate that it has really tainted the Democratic Party to the extent that it has. I mean, the Democratic Party used to be the party of pro-Israel and pro-Jews, and now it's just the opposite. The Democratic Party is the party of mocking and jeering at Israel and mocking and jeering at Jews.
Well, you know, we have to take a break, but you bring up good points, and when we talk after the break, we can talk a little bit about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. You know, recently we're hearing about the Green New Deal, but way back before she was actually elected, when you talk about the Israel question, her ignorance with what she was talking about seems to show through. She may not be ignorant on a lot of subjects, but on a lot of them she is. Why are we turning to people like that? But let's talk about the Green New Deal after the break. I know you have some opinions on that. And you may have some opinions on AOC and what she's said about Israel and occupation as well. You listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790
KBC.
No, it isn't. KBC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, we're back, and I'm not sure why we're talking about Africa, but it is one of my favorite songs.
I love this song.
Everyone does. It's amazing. And Weezer came out with a new edition of it.
Talking about music and things that we love, I was at the Journey concert last night.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Wow. How was that?
It was fantastic.
Is the Filipino guy still?
No, it was just the old music. So it was kind of like Neil Sean and the rest of the band members coming together and playing all the old stuff. They played a couple of the, you know, the hits, but it was fantastic.
Wow.
Absolutely. Neil Sean is one of the best guitarists I've ever heard.
Journey music is amazing.
Unbelievable.
We're here, and you know, it's funny because before the break, I was taking us out, and I think it was a Freudian slip. What did I say? KAOC.
I don't
instead
know
of what
you said.
KABC. And I think that's rather frightening to a lot of people, maybe not all, to be KAOC if she's really going to take over the airwaves that way. I don't think Ben Stein would be happy about it. We are talking to Ben Stein, of course. One of the great humorists of our time and commentators in the political economy. I need some help here, Ben. Can you help me out for 1 minute?
I'll do my best.
I appreciate that. It sounded like Win Ben Stein's money. I'll do my best. When you know they used to ask him, can you answer that?
Yeah, sure. I remember it very well.
You remember that show?
Of course, I remember it pretty well. We did 900 of them,
and you won an Emmy. The show won seven Emmys.
Seven Emmys.
Wow!
Yeah. And I've won more television quiz shows than any other person in history.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And he always said, I'll do my best. And you really did. Did anyone, I know I saw a couple times where they beat you. It was rare, wasn't it? Because you were giving up your own money.
It was pretty rare.
Yeah.
It was my own money. I didn't want to lose it. They would deduct it from my wages if I lost.
So you made sure that you won. But anyway, so the favor I'm asking that you're going to do your best.
I couldn't make sure that I won, but I did. I was committed to winning. I tried very hard to win. I really concentrated. I mean, I really bored down when I was answering the questions.
And it totally was not fixed. Obviously, everything was on the
up. No, obviously not. That would have been A, wrong, and B, illegal.
Yeah, wrong for sure. So what you're going to help me out, during the break, and we've had this problem for about 5 years. I've never been able to convince Carrie, and you share a lot of the same views, and you admired her for saying in the opening segment that she agrees with you on your stance on pro-life. But here's something she doesn't agree with you, and maybe you can help me out, because we have this discussion all the time about Israel and what's going on over there. So I'm going to ask you, Carrie, listen carefully to, or why don't you tell Ben?
Why don't I just give you a little bit of history on this? Okay, so my father, being Casey Kasem, was an Arab American. And when I was a kid, he would bring Zionists and Arabs together, and he would have these peace talks to try and talk it out, try and get, like, what are the solutions? What can we do? I remember my dad saying, if peace could happen in the Middle East, that would be, before he died, that would be it for him. That's all he wanted. And there were so many times you heard, you know, I heard this, both sides of the story very well. And I have a lot of friends who are actually Israelis that live in Israel. And many times they have been admonished. They have been by saying, like, Israelis saying, we've got to stop going into the settlements and mowing down people's homes and creating this anger. We have to stop that. And people will say, oh, that's anti-Semitism. That's wrong. That's not what's happening.
Well, I mean, I very much take issue with your characterizing as mowing down people's homes. I mean, when they find somebody who's been a terrorist, they will on occasion blow up the person's house as a way of punishing the person and his family
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, terrorism.
That's not what I'm talking about. There was a woman named Rachel Corrie. I don't know if you're familiar with this woman. She was an activist, and she was many, many years ago. This isn't recent. She stood in front of a tractor to stop a family's house from being mowed down. I never heard that they were terrorists. That's maybe, I guess, a possibility. But they were a family. They had lived there for a very long time, and the tractor ran over her and killed her. And there was a
book. That was something. Israel apologized for that about 1,000 times. I have yet to see the PLO or the Fatah or Hamas apologize for killing any innocent Israelis.
So there's no truth in the fact, even though my Israeli friends say that, and this is what's coming from them. This is not me. I've never been to Israel. So there's no truth in the fact that there are settlements and there are people's homes being mowed down to make room for, Israeli settlements.
There's no truth to that. People will, their homes are being bought. People will, Arabs are being asked to sell their land, and they will sell their land, and then the Israelis will put up subdivisions where their land was. And nobody's mowing down the Palestinians' houses. And the rage of the Palestinians against the Israelis is virtually bottomless, because with good reason, the Palestinians were there. They thought it was their country, and then suddenly along come all these Jews from Europe, and they take this miserable place that's just been desert and nothing much growing there, and they make it into a garden, and they make it into a technological powerhouse, and they make it into a military powerhouse. So naturally, the people who were there before and couldn't do anything much with it are going to be furious about it. That's just basic human nature. But as to whether or not Israel is purposely torturing and tormenting the Palestinians, well, the answer to that is, A, Palestinians have the right to vote in Israel, not Palestinians who are refugees in the refugee camps, but Palestinian Arabs who are in Israel before Israel became a country can vote.
Right.
There are many of them in Israeli parliament. They can get scholarships and go to Israeli universities free. They get free Israeli medical care. The amazing story about Israel is that Israel is so good to its neighbors that when the Palestinians are fighting amongst each other, and when the ISIS is fighting against some other faction, if there's someone wounded, they bring them to an Israeli aid station, and the Israelis will take good care of them. That's certainly not going to happen if they're an injured Jew. They're not going to take them to a Fatah or a Palestinian aid station. There would be no question he'd be tortured and eaten alive.
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about this stuff, it's always a matter of what goes out in the media and, whether you want to talk about fake news or how news is disseminated in 2019. Those aren't the pictures. Those aren't the stories we hear. And when we talk about anti-Semitism.
Right. Those are not the stories you hear. No, The media has always had very ambivalent feelings about Israel. The media has become even more ambivalent about Israel and even more hostile to Israel because Israel represents Western thinking and Western capitalist thinking and Western prosperity. And the people in the media hate. I mean, the people in the media hate success. And a lot of the people in the media, even if they're Jewish, hate Jews. So it's a big problem. And the media is very free, very much free from impartiality in this area. They're partial towards the Palestinians in a big, big, big way.
And when people talk about it being called anti-Semitism, a lot of people say, why does it always have to be called anti-Semitism? Well, I think the simple answer, Ben, and you may agree with me, is there's a number of problems going on in the world right now, and we don't hear about them. We don't have a lot of media that is jumping down the backs of other countries and other situations, but it always seems to be there. I don't want to continue, and if you disagree, chime in, but I'm not going to hear anything from you. I think you're just going to let me move on now. Would I be correct?
Yes.
Good.
you're completely correct.
Thank you. So
it's a bottomless pit. You know, President Nixon used to say there's just one inside of the problem in the world, and it's Israel versus the Palestinians. And that's, he said he never could figure out any solution to that problem, and he doesn't know if anyone ever will.
And
I was going to ask that. Do you think, both of you, do you think there's any hope that there will be peace in that territory? Any hope?
Well, there's peace now, but it's a very fragile peace, right. And it's occasionally interrupted by terrorism. I don't see any hope. I really don't. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible situation.
I agree.
And I agree, too. Actually, you mentioned President Nixon. One of the things that's really interesting, we don't have a lot of time, but...
we love Nixon.
Can you just, in 1 minute...
Love.
We understand that. You wrote speeches, but, you know, and we don't have a lot of time on this, but Watergate, because I find it fascinating. A lot of people look at history very differently than you do with respect to Watergate and what, you know, talk about railroading, being railroaded. In a minute, tell us why Nixon wasn't what the history books are writing about him now.
He was a peacemaker. He was the greatest peacemaker in the history of the American presidency. And he ended the war in Vietnam. He brought home the prisoners of war. He saved Israel during the Yom Kippur War. He saved them, literally saved them from going nuclear and having a nuclear war in the Middle East. He instituted, he was the first president ever to propose universal health care. And I know this because I wrote the speech that sent the message up to Congress. He was actually the only Republican president who's ever been for the Equal Rights Amendment. So that was kind of unusual, too. Nixon was a man who believed thoroughly in peace. He was a man who started, who opened the door to relations with China. By so doing, encircling Russia and ending the Cold War, making it impossible for Russia to win the Cold War. And he then opened to talk with Russia about strategic arms. There is nowhere in the world in Nixon touched where peace did not sprout, except he could not make peace with the, between the Palestinians and the Israelis. But Nixon was the ultimate peacemaker. And the ultimate line is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Yes. And what do you think of Carter trying to create peace in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know.
He tried. I don't think Carter is as terrible a president as people make out. And I think, and I'll tell you something else, I don't think Clinton is as bad a president as Clinton, as people make out. Clinton, in many ways, was a very fine president. And, in terms of fiscal policy and economic policy, he probably was the best president we've had in the post-war period.
Wow.
You know, we have to take another break, but we have one more segment, and we want to talk a little bit about our country now, today. And I did mention Green New Deal. There are some other issues. Now, you said we are living in a Pollyannish best of all possible worlds, but it can't go on. And, you know, your buddy Warren Buffett has a much more positive perspective of the future. Let's talk in our last segment about our country, why you maybe think that it's not as positive in the future as maybe Mr. Buffett thinks, and how maybe we can avoid total destruction in this country. You're listening to Garvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop believing.
Gosh, they were good.
Thinking about what can go wrong, and now we're talking about what can go right. I guess that was what I said before the break, talking to Ben Stein, talking about what the prognosis is for our country. And, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, Ben. We wish we had 2 hours with you, but we're going to do kind of a rapid round, and you're used to it because you're a game show guy, so you know what a rapid round is. We've had so many calls. Believe it or not, Ben, yeah. Do you understand this, that you get people calling in? We haven't taken the calls, but especially some of the comments that you've made, you've lit up the board, yeah. So congratulations on that.
People, well, God bless you. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, people really want to talk about Israel. They want to stick on that subject.
Well, there's other subjects
and
as well.
Yeah, well, they've been evolution. Calling throughout the whole show.
All you have to say is Israel and evolution and Ben yep. Stein, and everyone's calling in. Quickly, Green New Deal. Tell us why it is a disaster. It'd make the Great Depression look like a picnic.
Because if we take fossil fuels out of the equation for running the economy collapses. there will be wild inflation. There'll be wild unemployment. There'll be rioting in the streets. There'll be civil war. It's just the craziest idea I've ever heard of in my life. We don't even know that. We don't even know for sure. Now here your switchboard's going to light up again. We don't even know that man-made causes are the causes of global warming. We don't even know for sure that there is global warming. The amount of global warming has been very, very trivial. I mean, they always say, oh, it's the hottest year on record, blah, blah, blah. But it turns out it's the hottest year on record by something like a quarter of a degree, a very, very small amount. And anyway, the great majority of the global warming pollutants and the pollutants that are carbon-related are coming out of China. So if we do everything we possibly can here in America to stop global warming, it's still not going to have any effects as long as China keeps ramping up burning of the coal and oil and other fossil-based fuels.
You know, it's been proven over and over again that our oceans have been deserts and our deserts have been oceans, and we have had this kind of change in climate throughout the, you know, millions of years, however long you think the Earth has been here. And so I tend to believe that there's a little bit of truth in both, that maybe global warming, whatever you call it, climate change, happens anyways. But I don't like the fact that we have this horrible pollution. So call it whatever you want.
I'm with you 100%. Yeah. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
I don't like pollution. I don't like little things of carbon getting into the air and then getting into my lungs and killing me.
Right.
I don't like that at all. I'm with you 100% on that.
You know, the common sense is there's such a lack of it nowadays. There's just such a lack of it. Maybe it's always been the lack of common sense. Have you ever thought had you ever thought about running for, you know, office?
No, never thought about it. Can't bear to get up that early in the morning.
Well, wait a second. You're giving too much credit to Congress, because there were 70 members of Congress who signed on as co-sponsors of the Green New Deal. How do you explain that?
President Nixon said that the average congressman isn't fit to be dog catcher. And that, I think that's very true. I mean, the people who are signing up for the Green New Deal are just crazy. They're crazy. Miss Ocasio-Cortez is a moron and a lunatic and a dangerous maniac on the world scene. And and that's just my opinion. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't really know if she's crazy.
But just because it's your opinion doesn't mean that it's not true just because it's your opinion.
Right.
Well, it is true, but it's just my opinion. It is true. It's just my opinion. It's true. But, I mean, what would we do if we had to retrofit every building in America in 10 years? We'd have to have nuclear war to destroy all the buildings and then build them back up again. We couldn't possibly do it. And as I say, even if we did do it, the amount of the pollutants coming into the air from the United States is trivial compared to what's coming into the air from China, India, other countries in the less developed world.
Speaking of China, really quickly, let's talk about tariffs and Trump's initiatives.
Bad idea. We don't like tariffs. We don't like tariffs. We don't like China stealing our technology, but we do not like tariffs. Free trade is a great, great thing, and the closer we can get to free trade, the better off we are. I give Mr. Credit, Trump.
Mr. Trump. Don't call him Mr. Credit.
I give him Mr. Credit Trump for saying we should try to have a level playing field in terms of technology transfers. But I really, really, really do not want to have a trade war. There's nothing good that ever comes from having a trade war. There's never, ever been a good trade war. There's never, ever going to be a good trade war.
So how is this all going to pan out now? What do you see the future with respect to this? And the stock market, of course, because so far it's performing. But who knows, when you talk about the Federal Reserve, if they raise interest rates, if we have some problems, we're looking at a recession.
Well, if we're looking at the Green New Deal, we're looking at inflation on a titanic scale, because any kind of anything that produces energy is going to be bid up to the sky. Any kind of anything that produces energy in a clean way is going to be bid up to the sky. There's just going to be wild unemployment, wild inflation. It's going to make the New Deal look like a picnic. I mean, sorry, it's going to make the real New Deal and the real Depression look like a picnic. It's the absolutely dumbest idea I think there's ever been in the history of American policy. It's an idea so stupid that it sort of beggars the imagination. It's like if you gave a bunch of Brownie Scouts a wand and said, wave your wand around, and twang your magic twang or froggy and make the earth change to be the way you want it to be. And this is what she came up with. It's, I mean, this woman does not deserve to be in Congress. This woman should be in a mental hospital.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think some things are so out there and so crazy and so stupid and so no sense at
all,
right?
You mean Donald Trump getting elected?
Come on now. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things and policies. So maybe they go so far to the extreme to get something done because nothing can get done. Nothing seems to be able to get done.
But they are getting things done. The Clean Air Act has made an enormous change in the cleanliness of the air in the United States of America. Clean Water Act have made enormous changes in the cleanliness of water in the United States of America. There's already been a fantastic amount of progress in that area. And I am all for making progress. Slow and steady wins the race. Yeah. Breaking down the society, blowing it up in order to start a new one is not going to win the race. It'll just destroy America and destroy the world.
So where do we go from here? Do you have any thoughts?
We go to a re-electing Trump and having him behave better this time. And by the way, I don't care if Trump has girlfriends. I don't care if Trump is using money to pay off girlfriends. I don't care about that at all. What he does in his spare time is his business. It's not my business. I elected him to stop murder of babies in the womb, to make peace wherever he possibly can in the world, and not to be a model husband. I mean, I'd like it if you're a model husband. I certainly am not a model husband myself, but I would like it if he could be a little bit more of a model husband than he is.
But you also, Ben, you also elected him to appoint Supreme Court justices. And when
and I think he's done a great job on that.
But when you look at someone like Kavanaugh and putting the controversy aside, aren't we just, and we had a Brian Leiter on, University of Chicago professor, who talked about the Supreme Court just being a glorified political organization. Aren't we just doing that when you look at Kavanaugh or whoever? If Obama was still in office, you're going to have some left-leaning justices. So why are we pretending like these are legal eagles? They're going to be able to sort through these tough legal issues.
Because they are legal eagles. They're incredibly smart people, and they're people who have a track record of being able to handle difficult, complex issues, and they will be able to do it. And Kavanaugh went to my alma mater, Yale Law School, so we assume he has a fairly good legal record. Although
Hillary Clinton
also
as well.
Went to Yale Law School, so that's not good. But Hillary Clinton and Bill, too.
Yeah.
I know too many bad people went to Yale Law School. I take it back.
My stepdad went to Yale Law School. You didn't know a Robert Naylor, did you?
You mean Robert Gramicide Naylor?
That's him. That's him.
Naylor. Bob Naylor, and he went to Yale Law School.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah. But okay. God bless him. I'm sure he's a very capable.
You're a great actor, Ben. Because you had her believe.
I'm like, that's really
what
cool.
An actor.
He's
you should do Ferris
he's
Bueller's Day Off.
He's a Republican lobbyist up in Sacramento.
Okay, we got a clip. six o'clock. It's time to close out. Ben Stein, thank you so much. This has been.
Thank you so much.
It's been an honor.
Thank you very much.
You have been one of my most favorite interviews, I have to tell you. Your common sense blows me away. I just love it.
You just got to convince her on Israel, though. That's another
issue. It's not about that. I want peace there.
It's impossible. It's impossible to do. But anyway, God bless you, and God bless your soul.
You
as
well.
I appreciate very much your talking to me. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Wow. I love the journey.
I love it. Wayman, I love you.
All right. Keep believing. Don't stop believing.
I won't.
See you next week. Alan Gervey, Carrie Kasem signing off.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.